10:45，我们会提早一个小时，提早15分钟开始。OK， 好，所以我想刚才我们已经有欢迎了这些新的朋友，那我们下面我们就把时间交给 Bob， 我们开始今天的聚会。OK。
Hey, it is good to be with you again tonight, and thank you for making me food without salt.
好，我非常的高兴能够今天晚上又再次跟大家一起来相聚。那也特别谢谢大家今天晚上为我特别的煮晚餐是没有盐的。
I don't know if that means I cannot be salt of the earth.
啊，那是这句话是不是意味着说我不能做在世上做光做盐？但我想大概不是这个意思。
But I appreciate your kindness, and so does my doctor.
那我非常的感谢大家是如此的这么样的爱护我，我相信我的医生也会有同样的结论。
And I appreciate how you have taken me into your lives this weekend.
那我也非常的感谢大家这么样的来接待我。
I will pray for you the rest of my life.
我将在我余生的日子为大家不断的祷告。
Because you have made a deep impression on my life.
因为你实在我的在这几天在我的生命里面带来了影响。
And I hope I've had something to share with you as well.
那我希望说我也愿意把我余下的生命与大家来分享。
Tonight I want to talk about the fact that many Christian people start reading their Bible.In the wrong place.
那今天我想跟大家分享的一个题目很多的时候我们发觉说很多基督徒我们在读圣经的时候我们发觉我们最开始读的地方是不对的。
Most Christian people that I know do their Bible study from the New Testament alone.
那很多的时候我发觉基督徒信主之后他们开始读圣经他们往往都从新约开始。
And there's nothing wrong with reading the New Testament because it's about Jesus.
大家不要误解我的意思。那读新约没有任何的问题，也没有任何的错误，因为新约里面记载了很多关于耶稣的故事。
It tells us the story of Jesus. It tells us the story of the early church. It gives us the letters of the apostles.
那里面记载了耶稣的生平，记载了早期教会是怎么样发展的，也记载了那些使徒们他们写给各地教会的书信。
And it tells us that at the very end, God wins.
那也同时也告诉我们，将来在最后结局的时候，神赢了。
Nothing wrong with the New Testament except it comes two-thirds of the way.Through the Bible.
那读新约圣经的确是没有任何问题，但是我们要注意到一点，整本圣经，新约圣经开始的时候是最后的三分之一。
Jesus's Bible was the Old Testament.
那耶稣时代那时候的圣经只有旧约。
The Bible of the first century church was the Old Testament.
在第一个世纪，公元第一个西元第一个世纪的时代，当时基督徒所用的最常用的也是旧约圣经。
In fact, the Gospels about Jesus were not written until the church was about 30 years old.
那我们知道说新约圣经很多的内容只有到了公元30多年之后才形成。
Now they certainly knew the stories of Jesus, but they got those from the apostles.
虽然当时的信徒们知道耶稣的故事，他们那个时候直接从使徒们所传讲的话语里面所知道。
And when the apostolic generation died away, it was natural to put these stories in writing.
那当这个跟随耶稣的使徒们一个一个去世之后，那很自然的，他们就把当时使徒们所讲的话都写成了书。
But if you read the story of the early church in the book of Acts, they found their mission.In the Old Testament.
那你但是当你去读使徒行传的时候，那使徒行传里面记载早期的使徒们是怎么样在跟随神所操作的时候，你发觉他们所引用了很多旧约圣经里面的内容。
They found Jesus in the Old Testament.
他们特别在使徒行传里面记载说，他们常常发觉在读圣经里面读到了主耶稣基督。
And they located the Great Commission in the Old Testament.
他们甚至在旧约圣经里面也找到了大使命。
Because 2,000 years before Jesus came to earth, God told Abraham to be a blessing to the nations.
那在2000年前，耶稣来世的2000年前，神已经告诉了亚伯拉罕说，让他成为地上万国和万民的祝福。
We could say that the Great Commission is found in Genesis chapter 12.
其实我们甚至可以讲说，在创世纪第12章就已经找到了大使命。
But there's a commission even older than Genesis 12.
另外有一个神所吩咐的其实比创世纪第十二章还早。
That commission is found in the first chapter of Genesis.
那就是在创世纪的第一章就能够找得到。
After God created Adam and Eve, he gave them these words.
在耶稣在神创造了亚当夏娃之后他就给了他们这样的话
He said in Genesis 1:28 Be fruitful and increase in number Fill the earth and subdue it Rule over the fish in the sea And the birds in the sky And over every living creature That moves on the ground
创世纪第一章第二十八节里面讲到说神就赐福给他们又对他们说要生养众多遍满地面治理这地也要管理海里的鱼和空中的鸟和地上各样行动的活物。
People like Chuck Colson call this the Cultural Commission.
那很多的基督教学家里面就把这一段的圣经把它称为我们所谓的中文翻译成文化使命。
God created human beings to be learners and stewards over creation.
这一段的圣经讲到神创造了人有两个非常重要的作为，第一个呢就是要做一个学习的人，第二个就是做一个神的管家。
And when sin came into the world, it distorted how people live out this commission.
但是当罪进入世界以后，我们这人的这两个最基本的角色却被扭曲。
Instead of taking care of God's earth, people began to destroy it.
我们不再去好好管理和治理神所创造的自然，我们却去毁灭了它。
Jesus.Came to redeem this commission.
耶稣到世上来，其中一个的工作就是要我们人能够恢复这样的一个使命。
When you look at the ministry of Jesus, he forgives sin and he is restoring broken creation.
我们看到耶稣的事工里面，他赦免罪，同时他也把人的文化的使命能够恢复。
And then he tells his disciples to go disciple the nations.
那同时他也吩咐我们称为的大使命，就是说要使他的门徒出去来教导万民。
And when they go disciple the nations, not only are they preaching the good news about Jesus, but they're telling the world Jesus is restoring all things.
所以当他的门徒出去教导万民的时候，不仅是把神的救恩要带到每一个人的身上，同时也邀请他们恢复神在他们身上的这个起初的文化的使命。
They are concerned about people's needs and they are concerned about the earth that they live on.
他们要关心人的需要，也关心他们所生活的周遭的世界。
The early church understood that the Old Testament commissioned them to care for all of creation.
所以从这个角度上看，早期的基督第一代的基督徒，他们就明白了，从旧约里面就已经告诉我们每一个人说都有这个文化的使命。
And as you go through the later history of the church, you see Christianity affecting every sector of this world.
所以在过去两千年，当你看基督教会的历史和工作的时候，你就发觉说他们不断的在影响文化和社会。
Because the good news is.Jesus has died and been raised to restore all of creation.
所以好消息包括耶稣基督到世上来为我们的罪舍命，同时也恢复了神的秩序。
You don't know this unless you've read the Old Testament.
所以这个部分我们不常常明白，除非我们仔细的读旧约圣经。
We Christians often say Jesus is the answer.
我们基督徒常常嘴中有一句话说，耶稣基督是我们的答案。
The world says, "What's the question?"
那很多。世界却非常的混淆，觉得我们都不知道问题是什么。
Genesis tells us what the question is.
那创世纪却把这个问题是什么告诉了我们。
It tells us that the perfect world God created has gone wrong.
创世纪告诉我们说，神所造的这个看为好的完美的世界已经被毁坏。
Human sin is a very serious thing.
人的罪是一个非常严肃的事情。
This is one thing that really distinguishes Christianity from Ancient Chinese religions.
那我们如果把基督教和中国的古时候的各种的宗教做一个比较，我们就会看到这一点。
Confucianism, Buddhism, both teach that human beings can be corrected by themselves.
不管是佛教还是各种各样的道教 封建信仰里面都提到这一点。
Christianity teaches that sin really distorts us.
基督教告诉我们说，罪实在是把我们扭曲了。
And only God can change us.
只有神能够改变我们。
And indeed, He has in Jesus Christ.
的确，在主基督耶稣里面，他已经改变了我们。
And as Christians got hold of this truth, they began to change the world.
所以，当基督徒能够紧紧的抓牢这样的真理的时候，他们就会对周围的世界产生影响和变化。
Not by military power and might, but by changed lives.
不是按照军队的这样的暴力和武力，而是按照神的能力。
Changed values, changed relationships, a different worldview.
我把我们的价值观被改变，把我们的人际关系被改变。
Tonight I want to look at three areas that Christianity changed with its cultural commission.
那今天我想特别跟大家仔细来谈三个方面，基督教是怎么样影响了我们人类的文化。
I want to call them three cultural narratives or histories.
那我把它称为人类文化的三大领域。
And I pick three. There could be literally dozens I could choose.
那其实我虽然只选了三个，但是我们如果细想的话，可以有十多个都可以来讨论。
The Christian worldview changed how people look at human life.
那圣经的世界观改变我们人是怎么样看待我们的生活。
The Bible teaches that all human life is sacred.
第一点我想谈的就是圣经中教导我们说每个人的生命都是神圣的。
The Bible teaches that all human beings come from a common set of parents.
那圣经中教导我们说每一个人都是最终的祖先是来自于起初神造的人。
And the early church entered a world that had a very low view of human life.
在第一代的新约时代第一代的基督徒，当时的社会文化确实对整个人的价值很贬低。
For all of its cultural sophistication, the Roman Empire treated women and children very poorly.
当时的帝国是一个罗马的帝国，虽然罗马的帝国从很多的角度上讲已经非常的发达，但是他们对整个人性的认知，看见却是非常的低。
Infanticide was common and abortions happened quite frequently.
那在当时的社会，这种杀害婴孩的事情是非常的普遍，而且流产这样的事情也是非常的普遍。
Many abortions were done because people did not want to be responsible parents.
那很多时候流产唯一的原因就是他们的父母不愿意做一个负责任的父母。
Many children were turned loose into the streets.
那很多的小孩子就被遗落在街头。
Many women were bullied in society.
那个时候妇女很受欺压。
And privileged Romans amused themselves by going to the amphitheater.
那个时候有特权的这些罗马人，他们就是跑到这个斗技场。
And there they watched the gladiator games.
那个时候他们就看这些角斗士们彼此残杀。
Do you know who the gladiators were?
大家知道角斗士是什么？是谁吗？
They were generally slaves or people of low class or criminals.
那些角斗士都是被当时的人看来是属于低层阶级的人，或者是罪犯，或者是奴隶。
Excuse me. And they were sent to fight each other or be mauled by animals.
那个时候他们就被逼着要彼此的残杀，在斗技场里面，或者是与动物来彼此的征战。
And this was sports in the Roman Empire.
在当时这种情况被当作体育运动。
In the Roman Empire, suicide was seen as being a noble act.
在当时的罗马帝国，有些甚至把自杀也会当成一种高尚的一种的行为。
It was an evil, vicious world.
在现在我们看起来，当时的社会里面实在是充满了邪恶。
Laws did not protect the common person.
那个时候的法律不保护人权。
And the Christian worldview, grounded in Genesis 1, challenged all of these things.
那基督教的世界观，因着我们认为人是被神所创造的，就对当时的这种的世界观提出了挑战。
As Christians stood up for the dignity of all people, Many times they were martyred.
那当时的基督徒就捍卫了人有尊严的这样的一个的真理。那很多的基督徒因着这样的原因也被残杀。
But by the early 4th century, Roman law began to change.
但是到第四世纪早期，罗马的整个国家的法律就开始被改变。
The abolition of slaves is another area that Christianity has changed.
另外一个领域就是奴隶制被废除，也是基督教的世界观产生了很大的影响。
You are probably all aware of the story of black people in America.
那或许我们生活在美国，对黑人在美国人的历史有一定的了解。
It is one of the saddest stories in our history.
实在是一个悲惨的一个故事。
It is one of the saddest stories in Western history.
实在在西方整个社会跟文化的历史当中也是非常的悲惨的。
But you know who brought about the change for slavery?
但是大家知道是谁最后来在废除奴隶制度上做出了最重要的贡献？
Christians.
是基督徒们。
People like William Wilberforce, who was in Parliament in England.
有一个人的名字叫做William Wilberforce, 他那个时候在英国做议员。
William Wilberforce became a Christian and wanted to leave the Parliament to be a preacher.
那个时候他成为基督徒之后，他虽然那个时候是做议员，他就想离开政治，去到教会里面做牧师。
But he had a friend and pastor by the name of John Newton.
但是他当时有一个朋友，也是他的牧师，那个人叫约翰牛顿，就是写七恩典这首诗歌的那个牧师。
You sing Amazing Grace, don't you?
我们也唱过七恩典这首诗歌。
That's John Newton's song. He was a slave trader.
那个时候那这个牧师他早期本来就是一个贩卖黑奴的一个人，后来他。
And he became a Christian and repented of that evil behavior.
后来他成为基督徒之后，为这样的罪忏悔。
He became a pastor.
他也成为了个牧师。
And Wilberforce asked Newton whether he should leave Parliament and become a pastor too.
那 Wilberforce 这个人，他当时想离开政治，想去做牧师，他就去问这个他的门徒他的老师好了，就是讲 Newton 这个人，说他应不应该离开政治去做牧师。
Newton told Wilberforce his parish was in the Parliament.
牛顿这个牧师就跟 Wilberforce 讲说，他说你真正要传道的这些对象就在你的议会里面。
And for 20 years, he tried to pass laws to abolish slavery.
所以 Wilberforce 这个人就继续在这个议会里面上班做议员，在整整20年的时间，他希望能够通过一个法律来废除奴隶制度。
Finally, after the English people began to see what slavery really looked like,
那终于英国人越来越清楚地看到黑奴制度是如此的不对。
Parliament was forced to abolish that evil thing.
那个时候英国的议会就最后终于通过了废除奴隶制的法律。
And William Wilberforce became the inspiration of Abraham Lincoln.
那Wilberforce 这个人最后也成为了亚伯拉罕林肯的这个是成为他的激励。
And eventually, slavery was abolished in the United States.
所以这个林肯就效法这个 Wilberforce 做的事情，那黑奴制度在美国也被废除掉。
You know that many Chinese people were treated as slaves in America.
大家或许也还记得早期有一段时间，很多华人在美国也被当成奴隶来对待。
They built the railroads.
他们那时候造了这个铁路。
And it finally was Christian.Who stepped in and said that's evil?
那个时候他们在这边做苦工做劳工，那基督徒们站起来说这么做是不对的。
All through history, Christians have stood for the value of human life.
所以我们看整个人类历史的时候，很多的时候基督徒站起来说人是有价值的，有尊严的。
Sometimes it's taken us way too long.
那很多的时候我们发觉说，的确我们花了很长的时间。
But as we read our Bibles beginning with Genesis,We see that all people are created in the image of God.
所以当我们读圣经，特别是仔细来读创世纪第一章的时候，我们才发觉说，我们所有的人都是照着神的形象所造的。
The value of the human being is a very important issue and topic in America today.
那人的价值和尊严在当今的美国社会也是个非常非常重要的一个议题。
Abortion is still here in our culture.
那在我们的现今的社会，堕胎问题是一个非常严重的问题。Thank you, Thomas.
People think it's okay to experiment on embryos.
那甚至也有人很多人认为可以用胚胎来做实验。
Women are being exploited to carry eggs for scientific research.
那很多的妇女也被使用被利用来来身上带着这样的胚胎去做实验。
I teach courses in bioethics.
那我在我的学校教一门课叫做生物伦理学。
And we try to inform our students about how medical science is treating many people unfairly.
那我们特别的跟学生们提到说，当今的医学研究把人当作试验品是非常的不合神心意的。
And like Christians in the past, we need to raise our voices.
就像早年的基督徒一样，我们做基督徒也当站起来指出这些不对出来。
And protect those who do not have voices.
特别去保护那些还不能说话的人。
Another issue in our culture is there's a lot of unwanted children.
在另外一个在我们当今的美国文化里面有一个很重要的问题，就是很多的小孩子被遗落。
And many Christian families are beginning to do what Christians have done in the past.
那很多在美国的基督教的家庭就开始效法早年的基督徒所做的事情。
They are taking these unwanted children and adopting them.
他们就把这些被遗落的孩子们接到家里面来领养他们。
This is a practical way to say we value human life.
这是一个非常实际的一个操作，来向世界和周围人宣告说我们尊重人的尊严和价值。
A child does not have to be my flesh and blood, to be my child.
那很多的时候，我们并不是说一定是要自己生的孩子才是自己的孩子。
In fact, Christians, we're all adopted children, aren't we?
所以我们很多时候，我们从属灵的角度来看，我们这个属神的儿子都是领养的。
We have been adopted by Jesus Christ.
圣经上说，耶稣基督领养我们。
And in my own family, adoption has become a very real way to say we value life.
在我自己的家庭里面，我就经历到这样的领养的这样的一个成为我们家庭中一个非常重要的层面。
Our oldest daughter is adopted.
我大女儿是领养来的。
We adopted her when she was 19 years old.
那我们领养她的时候，她这个女孩子名字叫 Irvin， 她那时候已经19岁。
She had been moved from home to home because her parents did not love her.
那个时候因为她的父母不要她，所以说她就是从一个领养的家庭到另外一个 foster， 应该翻译成什么？
Only the Lord
寄养
yeah,
，OK， 从一个家庭到另外一个家庭。
Okay, yeah. Only because she became a Christian, I believe, did she survive all of that.
那我们知道她后来了解她之后，发觉她的一生里面充满了痛苦。但是我们相信说，因为她一直是一个基督徒，所以这样的信心使得她一直活下来。
We met her when she was a freshman at our university.
我第一次遇到她的时候，她在我们大学里面做读书一年级。
My wife said, "Let's make her our daughter, so she will have a family."
所以我妻子就对我说，我们把她领养过来，让她有一个家。
And so we adopted her on her 19th birthday.
所以她19岁生日的时候，我们就领养了她。
And she became a college teacher, and she is married to a fine Christian man.
他后来在一个学校里面做老师，而且也结婚嫁给一位弟兄。
And she is raising her own little boy, and he knows who his grandparents are.
那他们也有了一个儿子那这个儿子是知道说他们的爷爷奶奶是谁。
Our youngest daughter is adopting two black children.
那我的小女儿，这个牧师有三个女儿，她的第三个女儿，他们现在在领养两个黑人的孩子。
Two children, a brother and sister, who were put in foster care because their parents are in prison.
那这两个黑人的孩子是兄妹那是因为他们的父母两个人都在监狱里面。
And many children of parents like that will be in prison themselves later on.
那很多根据美国的统计，如果是一个父母是在监狱里面的家庭，很多的他们的子女最后也会进到监狱里面。
Unless Christian parents bring them in and raise them to love the Lord.
但是很多的基督徒的父母在这个时候就愿意进来去领养这些孩子们把他们抚养成人。
Our adopted children and grandchildren don't look like us.
那的确我们所领养的孩子和孙子孙女们并不跟我们长得并不像。
Obviously, my two little grandchildren are much darker in complexion than we are.
特别是我这一个孙子一个孙女，他们的肤色比我黑多了。
But who cares? God made them.
但这都没有任何关系，因为神造了他们。
And they will grow up in a Christian home with Christian values.
那我们看到说，他们能够在一个基督教的基督化的家庭里面长大，而且有基督化的父母。
My adopted daughter doesn't look like her adoptive parents either.
那我所领养的这个大女儿也的确长得不像我们两个人。
She's a lot better looking than her father.
她比她的领养的父亲漂亮多了。Yeah.
But she is a very tiny woman, much like a Chinese woman would be.
那她个子其实是很小，跟华人的女子有身材有相像。
And my wife and I are pretty tall.
我跟我妻子是比较高。
But she is our daughter.
但是她是我的女儿。
And we love her as much as we love our biological children.
那我们爱她的程度就跟爱我们自己生的孩子一样。
This is just one practical way, my friends, that we can show we value life.
朋友们，这实在是一个非常具体的一个操作，来体现说我们是尊重人权，尊重人。
And Chinese Christian family can adopt non-Chinese children.
那我在这里也鼓励大家去思考，中国的家庭也可以去领养非中国的孩子。
And think about it, they can embrace your culture and Christ's culture.
大家或许可以想象，当你这么做了之后，你所领养的这个孩子，他不仅可以享受华人的文化，也可以享受基督教的文化。
And they will break a chain of poverty and illiteracy and people who don't know Jesus.
那我们如果这样去做的话，我们就可以帮助他能够挣脱这样的锁链在他的没有受教育的锁链和不认识神的这样的锁链上面被挣脱。
As one goes through history, it has been Christians who have valued human life.
所以我们去看近两千年的人类历史的时候，我们就发觉说基督徒们对人的价值是非常的看重的。
But let me move to a second area, education.
第二个我想跟大家分享的领域就是讲到教育。
In Genesis 1:28, God commands people to learn about creation.
在我们刚才读的创世纪一章二十八节里面，它里面神吩咐我们说，我们要成为一个学习的人。
The first school is in the Garden of Eden.
我们第一个学校就是在伊甸园。
Jesus teaches his disciples.
我们看到在新约圣经，耶稣到世上来的时候，他也教导他的门徒。
And Christians have always taught each other.
那我们看到在教会中，弟兄姐妹也是彼此的教导。
And you know what? In heaven, we will continually be learning.
但是我也想告诉大家，我们将来在天上的时候，我们会继续的学习。
Because God is so big, we could never learn enough.
因为神实在是浩大，我们不可能穷尽对他的认识。
Now He has certainly given us enough information to know Him personally.
那我们相信说，神已经给了我们足够的信息，让我们能够来认识他。
But there is so much more of God to know.
但是我们相信神本身所拥有的远远大于他已经向我们所启示的。
And think about it, God communicated to human beings in language.
那大家也都知道说，神借着语言来与人交流。
And the Bible has been translated in many different languages.
那圣经被翻译成非常多的不同的语言。
Because Christians have understood God wants to be known by all people.
那为什么翻译成这么多的语言？是因为基督徒们明白说神希望能够与不同的人来交流。
And if He's given us a book, Christians have been concerned about reading.
所以既然我们手里有圣经的话，那我们基督徒总的来说对于读书也是非常的看重。
And so, not surprisingly, Christians began many schools.
所以一点也不惊讶，我们就发觉说在近2000年的历史里面，基督教常常在各个地方去建立学校。
Now, other cultures have had schools.
那我们的确也看到别的文化里面也有学校。
But schools were generally for the elite.
但是像比方说在这些罗马帝国里面，你会发觉说这些学校的建立是为了这些贵族们。
If you came from a royal family, you could have an education.
特别是说你如果是从皇家里面的后代的话，你大概会接受很好的教育。
And women were not educated.
那个时候女子却没有机会受教育。
But look at the ministry of Jesus.
但是我们来看耶稣在地上所行的。
Jesus is teaching fishermen.
耶稣那个时候在教导渔夫们。
Look at his disciples. They are not elite people.
你去看他的跟随他的人里面没有什么贵族。
Jesus is teaching women.
耶稣也在教导女人。
Remember, he tells Martha, "Get out of the kitchen and learn."
他对马大说，从厨房里面出来，到我的旁边来学习。
And he appreciated her cooking, I'm sure.
他当然对他煮的饭也非常的感兴趣。
But Jesus said, "You need to learn while I'm with you."
但是耶稣却对马大说，我与你同在的时候，你要到我身边来学习。
Because you are going to tell others about me.
因为将来你要在别人面前来告诉，向他人来讲我。
Who preached the first sermon about the resurrection?
是谁讲了第一篇关于复活的道？
It was the ladies who went to the empty tomb.
是到这个空坟墓的妇女们。
That was not acceptable in Jesus' culture.
在当时的文化里面，这样的行动是不为接受的。
Josephus, the Jewish historian, says women's testimony was not admissible in a court of law.
Josephus 是一个很有名的一个犹太的历史学家，他那个时候记载说，在当时的时代，妇女所做的见证在这个法庭里面是不被接纳的。
But Jesus appeared first to the women.
但是耶稣的复活之后，第一向他所显现的人是妇女。
And then they went and told Peter and the other disciples.
这些姐妹们就赶快的去告诉了另外的这些使徒们。
And it's not surprising as Christians started schools, they started schools where women could go as well.
所以你去看2000年的人类历史里面，当基督徒建立学校之后，他们也开始让妇女们也去上学。
In fact, public schools came out of the Christian worldview.
那另外一个就是这公立学校，其实也是跟基督教的世界观有关系。
Because Christians believed every boy and girl should be able to read the Word of God.
那个时候基督徒们相信任何一个男孩跟女孩都能够来读神的话。
And understand the world of God.
都能够来，也应当来理解神的话。
Christians planted the great universities in Europe.
那当初在欧洲，基督徒们开始建立了很多很有名的学校，特别是在欧洲。
And every one of the early universities in America was started by the church.
那几乎在美国任何一个就是找一批非常古老的学校，几乎每一个学校都是被都是基督徒来建立起来的。
Now many of those universities are not Christian at all today.
那今天我们去看那些大学的时候，他们完全不宣扬基督。
But it wasn't atheists that started them.
但是起初建立起这些学校的都是基督徒。
The great universities were all started to help men and women understand their Christian faith.
那个时候他们建立学校的一个最主要的目的是帮助人男人和女人来明白圣经的真理。
And apply their faith to all realms of creation.
而且把这样的真理能够运用在他们所接触的每一个的领域当中。
when many of these universities left the faith, Christian colleges came into being.
那当当这个社会的发展以至于说这个这些学校逐渐的离开了基督教的真理的时候，开始有了一些基督教大学。
Now again, originally all of these universities were Christian.
我想再一次的强调，当初最开始的时候，所有这些大学都是以基督教的精神建立起来的。
But as they became secular, new Christian universities were started in their place.
但是当这些学校变得世俗化，而且离开了神的时候，新的这些基督教的大学又被建立起来。
And some of you know Christians have started high schools as well, because many high schools have forgot about God.
有些或许大家也知道说，有些基督徒也开始建立一些基督教的高中。
I teach at a Christian university.
那我所在的学校是一个基督教大学。
What makes a Christian university any different than a secular university?
那当我们比较一个基督教的大学和一个世俗的大学之间有什么不同呢？
Because there are certain things like science and math that are taught very much the same way.
因为我们有些时候做比较的时候，我们发觉说，在一个世俗的大学或者基督教的大学，我们去看科学或者是数学的时候，所教的内容几乎是一样的。
But a Christian university reminds people that you can understand the world because that's the way God made it.
但是在基督教大学里面，我们在教这些科学、自然科学和数学的同时，我们也要提醒学生们，让他们知道说，这些所有这些知识的来源，来自于神的创造。
At a Christian university understands that learning is more than getting information.
那我们在基督教大学，我们也强调说，我们学习不仅仅是得到信息而已。
But it is about becoming a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
更重要的是成为一个主耶稣基督的一个门徒。
It's about character and morality.
是关于我们的道德，我们的品格。
About people who will make a difference in the world that they serve.
是看我们能不能在这个世界里面，在我们所服侍的领域里面，做出影响，产生不同。
It's about teaching people how that education is loving God with all their heart.
是教导我们周围的人是如何全心全意的来爱神。
Many of you will be making decisions about where your sons and daughters will go to university.
或许在我们当中有很多的父母要将来为孩子去哪个大学在做准备。
And we want our children to go to good schools.
那我们当然很希望我们的孩子去好的学校。
But Christian parents need to ask more than what is the prestige of the university.
但是我们做基督徒的父母，我们要问的问题里面不仅仅只是这个学校的名声，还要问说这个学校到底在教什么。
They need to ask what kind of people are they producing.
我们也要问说这些学校到底产生了什么样的人物。
I read a recent story about Harvard compared with a Christian university.
我最近读到一篇文章是比较哈佛大学跟这个基督教的一个大学。
The story said when a person graduated from Harvard, he was held in high esteem because Harvard was an important university.
那这文章里面讲到说，当一个人从哈佛大学毕业的时候，他有很多的荣誉，周围的人也非常的推崇他，因为哈佛大学实在是一个很有名的大学。
When a person graduated from the Christian university, he not only knew.The same kind of information. He was a good person.
那但是从一个基督教大学里面毕业的学生，他或许能够掌握同样的知识，但同时他的人的品格也被建造起来。
And this is a practical way we put into practice the Christian worldview.
那这是一个也是非常一个实际的操作。我们怎么样能够把基督教世界观运用到我们的生活当中
？We ask what kind of child do we want to see come out of the university?
那我们要问这样的问题，就是说，我的小孩子从这个大学毕业之后，他将变成一个什么样的人
？One that has only good grades, or one that has good grades and strong moral character.
那我们要所要的这个孩子，这个毕业生是是不是有很好的成绩呢？还是说不仅有很好的成绩，还是有很好的品格
？And I unapologetically invite you to look at Christian universities as you search for the school for your son or daughter.
所以我一点都不害羞的请求大家在为你的小孩子寻找学校的时候，也考虑基督教的大学。
Outside of me, Christian schools have good faculty.
所以
That's okay. You're not insulting me.
Okay. Okay. 大家知道他的一个玩笑吗？
No, this is a very important matter for you Christian mothers and fathers at this hour.
那玩笑之后，我希望特别是在我们当中的基督徒的父母们，这是一个非常严肃的问题，请大家能够好好的思考。
Lincoln Christian University was started primarily to prepare preachers and Christian leaders.
我给大家举个例子，我所在的这个林肯基督教大学，早期成立的时候是为了为各地的教会来培养。
Because many of the universities that used to produce ministers had gone very liberal.
那因为早期的很多的这些的所谓基督教的学院，他们最后变得很自由派。
Over the years, we've come to realize that our mission is quite a bit larger.
那虽然我们这个学校早期的时候只是为了教会来培养神职人员，但随着在过去这几十年，我们发觉说我们的使命越来越大。
And we've seen that ministers can be teachers and scientists and business people.
因为我们发觉说所谓的服侍神的人，不仅是可以在教会里面做牧师，也是服侍神的人，但是科学家们、老师们、等等，都是可以成为服侍神的人。
We even produced a congressman.
那在我们的学校有个毕业生也做了国会议员。
And I think you know our friend Bill Redman represented you very well.
那我们朋友就昨天晚上在我们当中那个Bill Redman 先生，他曾经在美国国会做议员，众议员。
And he always was telling people that he was given the tools to be a good congressman at a Christian university.
所以他常常跟人分享说他之所以对从政而且知道怎么样从政这么样的感兴趣，有这样的一个恩赐，是因为他就去了这个林肯基督教大学，在那里面他被教导如何用基督徒的世界观来从政。
I don't think we did too bad with Jordan either.
那同时那他的孩子Jordan 也是从这个大学毕业的。
But this again reminds us, people, that Christians changed education.
所以我在这里再次提醒大家，就是说基督徒们因着他们的信念，他们就改变了整个教育系统。
And the schools that have become so much a part of our culture owe their existence to Christianity.
那我们现在想到学校的时候就觉得习以为常，理所当然。但其实我们去看整个西方的社会历史的时候，这跟基督教的发展是有直接关系的。
Let me give you a quote by the late preacher D. James Kennedy.
我想给大家引用一句话，那这个话是来自于已经去世的一个很有名的布道家，叫 D. James Kennedy.
D. James Kennedy.
D. James Kennedy.
Dr. Kennedy wrote, "Every school you see, public or private, religious or secular, is a visible reminder of the religion of Jesus Christ."
他这句话翻译大概译出来的意思就是说，每一个你所看到的学校，不管它是公立学校还是私立学校，不管它是有基督教的学校还是世俗的学校，它都是一个明显的一个提醒，就是说我相信耶稣基督的这样的一个信仰能够带出来的结果。
So is every college and university.
同样的理念可以运用到每一个的大学里面。
Christians made a difference in education.
所以基督徒在教育里面产生了很大的变化和影响。
But there's a third narrative I want to talk about that involves many of you.
第三个我想跟大家分享的领域是关乎我们在座的很多人的。
And that is the rise and development of modern science.
这个领域是现代科学的这个发展。
Many of you work for the labs and are trained scientists.
在我们当中很多人在实验室上班，那我们的我们的背景的教育是做自然科学的。
Do you realize science came out of the Christian faith?
我们是不是意识到说自然科学的发展跟这个基督教的信仰也是紧密相关联的？
The early scientists were not atheists or members of other religions, they were Christians.
早期的科学家们他们都是信神的人，他们不是一个无神论者。
This is even admitted by historians of science who are not Christian.
那这是一个历史的事实，很多这个历史学家们即使他们不是基督徒，当他们在研究自然科学的历史的时候，他们也承认这个现实。
Have any of you physicists heard of Ernst Mach? Ernst Mach? Is he a name in physics?
Ernst Mach.
He was one of the great early 20th century physicists.
马赫原理是吧？
Yeah.
马赫原理是不是？
Ernst Mach was not a Christian.
这个马赫当时不是基督徒。你知道马赫原理的马赫？
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark?
M-A-C-H, German.
Okay, okay.
Yes, I guess I did throw a new name at you.
Okay.
Dr. Mach admitted that the mechanics of science came out of Christian theology.
那这个叫马赫，我们中文应该翻译马赫，他是研究这个动力学的，那就超音波的产生。我们现在称为 Mach number， 就是按照这个人的名字这个命名出来的。他本身不是基督徒，但是他是研究动力学。Can you say that quote again? Sorry.
Yes. He said that the science of mechanics came out of theology.
那他那个时候就讲到说，自然科学特别是动力学力学他觉得是从这个神学里面出来的。
The great philosopher of science, Alfred North Whitehead. Another name you know or don't know?
那他这个叫 North Whitehead 这个人呢，是是在整个西方科学史里面非常有名的一个所谓历史学家。
He was not terribly fond of conservative Christianity either.
他其实非常不喜欢这些保守的基督徒。
But he said there would be no science had it not been for the church.
但是他在写他的这个科学史的总结的时候，他说如果没有当初的教会的话，就不会有现代自然科学。
And another historian of science said that the monks of the Middle Ages were the intellectual equivalents to scientists in the 20th century.
那另外一个历史学家他引用了这么一句，他有做出这么一个结论的，大概的意思说，在中世纪这些在修道院里面的这些的道士们，他们那个时候的这个智力的程度，说了解自然的程度，就跟我们当今世代在20世纪里面这些大科学家的智力程度是相比拟的。
Had there been no Christianity, many of you would not be doing what you're doing.
所以我可以做出一个结论，如果不是基督教的发展的话，我们当中很多人今天不会做我们现在正在做的事。
Because the history of science clearly locates its beginnings in the church.
所以这是一个历史学家们所承认的现实，你去看自然科学史的发展，它最初的起源是来源于教会。
Because the early scientists began reading their Bibles with Genesis 1.
因为早期的这些的科学家们他们读圣经，他们也从创世纪第一章开始读起。
Genesis 1 tells us that God created an orderly universe.
在创世纪第一章里面，科学家们去读的时候，他们注意到一个非常重要的一个结论，就是神的创造是有规律的。
He created a universe that is understandable to the human mind.
而且这个宇宙，神所创造的这个宇宙不仅是有规律，而且是可知的。
And he created human beings as his image.
他这里面继续讲到说，神照着他的形象造人。
And gave them the cultural commission to understand this world.
而且给了他们一个很重要的文化使命，就是让他们去来理解和认识和管理这个所造的世界。
After the coming of Jesus, people began to take this very seriously.
那耶稣基督的到来使得人们更严肃的来看待神所当初所给人的这个使命。
And we know in the history of the church by the 12th century, century, Christians were already doing science.
所以我们现在去看整个西方的科学史的时候，我们就知道说，在第十二世纪的时候，基督徒们就开始已经做我们现在所谓的自然科学研究。
The early pioneers of science were all believers.
那早年的这些的科学的开拓者们，他们都是基督徒。
You've heard the names of Copernicus.Galileo and Isaac Newton.
大家或许都听过很多有名的名字叫哥白尼、伽利略、牛顿。
Obviously, you know them better than Ernst Mach.
Okay, 大家或许对刚才讲这些名字比马克的名字更熟悉。
These were all Christian believers.
这些都是基督徒。
And I know that many of you have learned that the church persecuted them.
那或许我们当中很多人都听说过这样的讲述论说早期的教会迫害了科学家们。
That is a partial truth at best and a lie at worst.
那这样的结论有很多的争议从某种角度上说有它一定的对的成分，但从另一个角度上看也有很大错误的地方。
Actually, non-Christians in the 19th century rewrote the history of science.
那其中一个对西方这个科学史有个很重要的影响的一些的人物，在第十十九世纪的时候，他们都不是基督徒，但是他们就写了一些关于科学史的发展的结论。
And those of us who have grown up in the 20th and 21st century have been taught that science and Christianity are enemies.
那在第二十世纪和二十一世纪长大的人，我们就被教导说科学和基督教是相对的。
Many of you fine scientists have become believers in Christ. Many of you fine scientists have become believers in Christ. Unless you're a bad scientist.
Okay. No. So, 在我们当中有很多很好的科学家都变成了基督徒。
But you believe that your science and your faith are two different compartments.
但是我们虽然成为了基督徒，但是我们却相信说我们的科学研究跟我们的信仰是可以分成两部分。
That's a lie from the devil.
那我们这实在是一个很大的一个谎言，是从魔鬼来的很大的谎言。
The foundation for modern science is found in the book of Genesis.
那我们现代自然科学的基础是来自于创世纪第一章。
And the history of science is.Paved by Christians.
那整个这个自然科学历史发展的道路是基督徒们开创的。
It is very clear that Christianity alone could birth modern science.
从历史的角度看是非常清楚的，是因着基督教的信仰才产生了自然科学。
Only in a culture that believed in an all-powerful, personal Creator God could science.Flourish.
只有在一个信仰的系统里面，相信说有一个全能的、全知的创造者，有意义、有价值的创造者，才能够有信心去继续做科学。
It is time for Christians to reclaim science for the Lord.
现在实在是一个非常重要的时机，让基督徒科学家们能够重新让科学回归在神的里面来。
It is time to teach our children the true history of science.
我们也到了时候要好好教导我们的子女什么是正确的科学发展史。
I will recommend some books to your pastor to give you that tell the true story.
那我会给大家推荐一些的书那这些书里面记载了正确的科学发展史。
And this is not just Christian propaganda, it is the truth.
那这个绝不是说是这些书也不仅仅是说只是基督徒在写，也是包括非基督徒在写，也不是所谓基督教的宣传资料。
The early Christians believed the Bible gave them the reason to study the universe and give glory to God.
那早年的基督徒他们相信说借着圣经所启示的真理，自然界是可以研究的，那研究的目的是为了把荣耀归给神。
And you who are in science every day get to marvel the wonders of God's creation.
那在我们当中做自然科学的，我们每一天看到。